ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
What's wrong with that? That's just facts, right? They were removed because they didn't like the post. Isn't that interesting? You see, it went against their agenda, and you can't do that. They are tolerant as long as you play by their rules. You post things that they are okay with. But you cross that line, you're in trouble, your post is taken down, and you're going to go to Facebook jail where you can't post things. And you may think, well, you know, that's minor. That's not a big deal. It's the start of what's coming down the pike. Think about it. If you're a supporter of Donald Trump, according to the media, according to liberals, you're a white supremacist, Nazi intolerant person. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but are they being intolerant of my views? Absolutely they are. They don't see it that way. Not at all. And I'll tell you, Big Brother is watching you. He's monitoring you. And if you don't conform to the way the social media wants you to conform, look out. I'll share this with you. The year is 1984. One company, Microsoft, dominates the computer world. It's their way or the highway. Conform or die. This snapshot in time was perfectly captured in one of the most famous commercials in TV history. Set in a gray, dystopian future, row after row of men stare blankly at a giant screen from which Big Brother, the all-powerful leader from George Orwell's classic novel 1984, addresses them. Suddenly, riot police burst into the hall, chasing a beautiful blonde woman in a white shirt and red shorts. Before they can grab her, she hurls a sledgehammer into the screen, shattering Big Brother and his grip on the masses. The narrator informs us that Apple's breakthrough product, the Macintosh computer, will be the device that sets us all free. Looking back, Apple largely lived up to its promise. A new wave of companies, each in its own way, followed the example set by Apple's legendary CEO. Google gave us instant access to vast amounts of information. Facebook gave us a new way to connect with friends, family, and the world. Twitter brought this world to us in real time. And YouTube allowed anyone with a smartphone to become a virtual broadcast network unto themselves. It was a glorious and empowering. But that was yesterday. Today, it's 1984 all over again. Big Brother is back with an important twist. Our former liberators now want to be our masters. Apple, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, the giants of social media are demanding conformity to their values. It's their way or the highway, conform or die. The image is perfectly captured not by an ad, but by this recent real-life scene. Row after row of men and women stare up at Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, as he makes a presentation, ironically, before a civil rights group. We only have one message for those who speak to push hate, division, and violence. You have no place on our platforms, Cook tells his audience. You have no home here. Hate, division, according to whom? And the answer is obvious. According to Apple, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're becoming the Big Brother Orwell foresaw. Conform or die. Cook's ideas are exactly the same as his fellow chief executives at Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Disagree with Big Brother on, say, politics or morality, and Big Brother will shut you up by shutting you down. And what is it that Big Brother doesn't like? Well, Tim Cook said it, anything that doesn't conform to his left-wing worldview. The examples are numerous and growing. Megan Murphy, a Canadian feminist, is permanently banned from Twitter for refusing to refer to the transgendered by their preferred pronoun and for writing, "Women aren't men." Permanently banned for that. Google, Facebook, and Twitter all at various times refused to carry political ads from Tennessee Republican candidate Marsha Blackburn promoting her conservative views. She's hardly the only one this has happened to. And as many of you know, YouTube continues to restrict over 100 of PragerU's videos, finding them inappropriate for children. These include titles like, now please, don't let your children listen to this. Why did America fight the Korean War? Oh, children shouldn't hear that, right? What? You shake your head at that. Broad-based studies by the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology and by Northwestern University have confirmed what these examples clearly suggest. Bias against conservatives at Google and other big tech sites. Yeah, no kidding. Really? And this is the bias we can plainly see. What we don't see, what Big Brother hides from us, what is referred to as shadow banning, may even be more pernicious. If you're on the left, maybe you're okay with this. But if you're not on the left, or even if you are, and you revere the First Amendment, you should be concerned, very concerned. We are advancing swiftly towards an Orwellian 1984 world of stifling, one way of thinking conformity. This time it's not a fictional story, it's real. What's the solution? Simply return to the open market of ideas that served big tech so well for so long. Stop the censorship and let people make up their own minds. Otherwise, America and the rest of what has been known as the free world will cease to be free. That's how serious the big tech threat is. We're not going back, guys. We're on the road away. You see, it's really no joke. Bible-believing Christians are going to be one of the big targets because of our views. Big Brother is watching. How are they going to monitor us, though? What if we're not on Facebook? What if we're not on any of these things? Have you read anything about what's going on in China and their system of monitoring the people of China? Over 1.4 billion people that live there are being monitored continuously to see if they conform to the views of the state. Can you imagine that? 1.4 billion people? Well, all the kids got them. Social credit system, good, bad. And we're watching you with facial recognition wherever you go. I think this is something that will be implemented all over the world to control the behavior, the thinking, everything the citizens of this world do. This is what's going to be needed. China's credit system, listen to this. In 2020, the government's current version of the system will become the full social credit system, and it will be owned and operated entirely by the Chinese state government. Great. The SCS, or social credit system, will take into account not only purchases, but also hobbies, your lifestyle, and even who you hang out with. And take a look at the people who are next to you, okay? Be concerned. If you raise a child, attend government events, or do well at your job, things considered ideal for a model citizen, your social credit score will go up. However, if you drink too much, play too many video games, or speak ill of the government, your social credit score will go down. It's a national database that will hold information on every citizen. 1.4 billion people. It will assess information as innocent as whether an academic degree was actually earned, and as personal as if a female is supposed to be taking birth control. In short, the SCS will not be a measurement of how regularly you pay your bills. It will show the government precisely how well you toe the party line. Chinese officials say that by 2020, the SCS will allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven. But that's only looking at the benefits for people with a high score. Here's the end of the quote. While making it hard for the discredited to take a single step. Wow. If your credit score drops too low, you're ejected from society, basically. You're rejected from housing and loans. Your children aren't going to be able to go to good schools, even if their grades are good. You have a harder time finding a date because dating sites and apps in China allow people to advertise their social credit scores. Turned away from good job opportunities, your internet speed could be cut. Or like Zhang, you'll be locked out of being able to buy train tickets and plane tickets. You're not going to be able to leave the country. In effect, the SCS is designed to completely eliminate mobility, social, class, or travel for those who do not agree with the government's definition of a model citizen. If the punishments are so severe, surely it must be hard to get a low score. Only for horrific crimes, right? Wrong. The common slogan in China is this: whoever violates the rules somewhere shall be restricted everywhere. Well, come on, that's a pretty broad spectrum, right? Who's deciding the rules? It reminds me a lot of Hitler. When Hitler came to power, he passed a lot of laws, but he didn't enact them right away. They were just on the books, right? And when he got his strength, then he was able to enforce them. He could arrest anyone because you couldn't know all those laws. There's no way you could follow all those laws. So he had the right to take into custody anyone and everyone he wanted. Punishment is already happening on a broad scale. Chinese authorities have already banned more than 10 million people deemed untrustworthy from boarding flights in high-speed trains. 10 million people. The majority of the elements are in place for the social credit system to be implemented. Not in China, in the United States. Look at what we have. We have the databases, the digital surveillance, the national credit score system, the systems of reward and punishment, the government knows best attitude, the electronic purchasing data. They know what you buy, right? All of a sudden you purchase something online and all of a sudden you're getting all these emails from companies that have similar products. Social networks. China started with Albia and Tencent. In the United States, we have Amazon, Facebook, Google, and everything you read, see, search, buy, and say. Your Android or iPhone already tasks your location and reports it hundreds of times per day, and that information is already being used for complete censorship. And that information, in 2018, Facebook began a program that assigns every user a reputation score which predicts their trustworthiness. Wow. I got this Gmail on my phone that told me over the last month every place I went to. Even had pictures of the place. Thought, wow, is that amazing? They can track you. In 5 years, China implemented this system. How did they do it? They subjected all online behavior to intense study. They collected, stored, and analyzed all social media and banking information. They began to severely regulate the freedom to travel. And again, this is what's going on in the United States. Police threat scoring algorithms are used to determine who the police should be tracking and surveilling. Social media is already being used in these algorithms. Did you know that? For the past decade, the NSA has been gathering information on people's social media, locations, friends, and who they travel with. The agency can enrich the data with bank information, social media information, voter information, and even GPS location information. The TSA has a rapidly expanding no-fly list. The list has no government accountability. There's no recourse unless, of course, you're a powerful government official who ends up on it. Indeed, a report from the World Privacy Forum indicates that in such a credit score system, error rates and false readings become a big issue. Yeah, how do you correct that? Think about it. You're going to church. Your credit goes down. You support pro-life. Oh, you're down again. You're against homosexuality, transgenderism. Your score is going down. You're training up your children to respect others, to love Jesus. Your credit score goes down. That's what's going on. Maybe you think I'm overreacting regarding this one world government and what it's getting into, but I don't think so. I mean, it's happening at an incredible rate. But for the U.S. to do this, in order to merge the U.S. into a one world political, economic, and religious system, our current delicate system of checks and balances, what our founding fathers so carefully established, would be eliminated. And look what's happening in Washington. You hear what they want to do. You know, removal of the Electoral College, right? You've heard talk about that. I wouldn't be surprised if down the road it happens, especially if Trump gets in again. They want just the big states to have the power because they're the liberal states. Next, our U.S. Constitution, which has served us, obviously, very well, giving us more freedom and opportunity than any other government, would have to be abolished. We would have a weaker voice in government, less power to govern ourselves. The world government power base would either be New York City or more than likely Europe. If you are upset now about U.S. elected officials in Washington not listening to the American people, how much worse is it going to be if it's international bureaucrats, right? You think they're going to respect us at all? Absolutely not. An international tax would be imposed to fund the world government. And those persons who have been at the forefront for pushing an international form of government during the last 70 years have consistently been anti-Christian and anti-Jewish in their political and religious worldview. And that's not going to change. Not at all. But here's the thing, and you know, how are they going to do this? How are they going to be able to monitor every person in the world? Even if everyone is chipped, how are they going to be able to do it? There's the answer. AI, artificial intelligence, which is growing faster and faster. A little over a month ago, I got an insulin pump. And when I was talking to the instructor about the insulin pump, she was telling me they're hoping within a year or two, they're working with AI and Watson, the computer that played on Jeopardy. They're working with artificial intelligence and Watson to come up with a computer system or with an insulin pump system that will mimic your pancreas. And they're that close. Artificial intelligence is being used in so much today. When you turn on the TV and you see commercials, what do you hear? AI, don't you? In Revelation chapter 13, the false prophet gives life or breath to the image of the beast. And how is the image of the beast going to monitor all the people of the world to know who's following the Antichrist and who's not? AI will. I think that's how they're going to do it. And there are many who are worried that AI is going to, artificial intelligence will eventually take over the world. Elon Musk, billionaire, looking to invent all kinds of things. He's working on developing basically how to inhabit Mars. And a lot of the work that he's doing is basically to put people on Mars and have them live up there. So he's concerned, though, that AI will eventually take over the world. It's kind of Terminator, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Many in this field feel we need to have some kind of kill switch for artificial intelligence to turn them off. Because once they start thinking on their own, how are you going to stop them? Is it going to be smarter than us? I don't think it's ever going to reach that point in our day. I think they will use artificial intelligence to monitor the people of the world, but I don't think it's going to take over the world. Man is going to be involved in that big time. For the church, we need to be aware of these things. Lord says, you know, come out from among them. Don't follow them. Follow me. But a lot of the world sees no problem. I know I've had you here for a long time, and I'm just going to sum it up basically with these words. Because I think, you know, we hear all this stuff, and sometimes people get afraid, they get scared. You know, they're throwing their cell phones in the toilet, and, you know, Siri, they're unplugging Siri, and, you know, they're not even watching their TV anymore. They're, you know, watching TV, yelling at it, stop watching me. Don't be fearful, okay? Because God's on the throne. Understand what's coming. The judgment of God is coming upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, we're told of this in Colossians. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's where we were, but we came out of that. Yeah, there are those people, and even some Christians, who say, you know, God's not judging the world. The world's getting better and better. Well, they need to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, right? I think it's kind of sums it up for us. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter's saying that in the last days, the days we're living in, according to Hebrews 1:2, there are going to be those who are going to mock the judgment of God. Even those in the church today, we see it, like I said. But here's Peter's warning, and it's pretty simple. If you feel this way, then you need to go back and look at the past and see God's judgment, how it was poured out upon this earth during a flood. And yes, there were those who mocked it during that time. Most of them did. And then when that first raindrop fell, well, it's too late, and they were destroyed. And you can reject the idea of a flood, but you have to suppress the truth to believe there's no flood. You know, when you look at the earth, it's built upon sedimentary layers of rock that's been laid down by water. And there's, you know, billions of dead things that are buried in those rock layers all over the earth. What does that mean? There was a flood. you know, why don't we see fossils today like we've seen in the past? Because when things die, birds eat them, or they die in the water, fish die, birds eat them, other fish eat them. They float to the surface. They don't get fossilized. Something cataclysmic had to happen. And Peter's saying, just like the flood happened, God brought judgment upon a world that was in rebellion to him. Judgment's coming again. Make no mistake about it. Again, who is this judgment for? Peter said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Many people today, well, I'm not ungodly. I'm a good person. But here's the thing. I mean, look at what happens in the tribulation period when people are hiding in caves. Kings and princes and common people are hiding and calling for God, or this judgment of God that's coming upon them, hiding from the face of God the Father and the Lamb. And they cry out, for the great day of his wrath is coming. Who's able to stand? You can't stand in your own righteousness. That's the problem. Paul said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way we can stand his righteousness. As you come to Christ, you escape the judgment of God, the wrath of God that's poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. That's what the Lord said to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Well, people say, well, yeah, but you dwell on the earth. No, I'm sorry, I'm not an earth dweller. My citizenship is in heaven. There's the difference. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come. People say, oh, but we're persecuted. There's wrath in this world now. No, that's from the devil. The coming judgment is from God during the tribulation period. And what did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:9? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take comfort in that. The question is, what are we to do until he comes back for the church, his bride? We're to occupy until he comes. We're to continue doing the work that God has called us to do. Yes, there's persecution in this world, but it should never stop us from being a light in this dark world, from sharing our faith. I think this whole social credit system is going to continue to grow throughout the world, and it will identify us as troublemakers, just as Facebook is doing today. And that's fine. I'm not trying to be justified by the world. I'm justified in Christ. And he doesn't judge me because he's already taken my judgment. He's finished the work. And I realize again, man, I've given you a lot of information. And if you need to review any of it, look it over, check it out. All these notes with the websites where I got some of this information from are going to be on the website. Actually, right now. So I better hurry up. These files upload at 10 o'clock. It's such a nice system. I want you to see what's happening in the world to encourage you and to know God's in total control. These things are not happening outside of his control. He's warned us that this is what's going to happen. And thus, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be ready for his return. And I'll leave you with this. There was a servant whose master and mistress were away and was uncertain when they're going to return. And a friend visited her and, feeling rather tired, went in to rest. And when she got up, she saw that the servant had gone to all kinds of trouble to lay the table for tea as if her master and mistress were coming home that hour. And she questioned the servant whether the master and mistress were coming home that day. But her friend answered, I have not heard, but as the time is uncertain, I always have everything ready each day. What a lesson this is for the Christian. To have everything ready every day and every hour of the day, because Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, right? Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much that you've warned us ahead of time, because again, how hopeless this world would look. But Lord, we know what's coming. And we know the things that will happen during the tribulation period. And like a woman in labor, those pains, those tribulations, your wrath is going to be poured out in greater frequency and intensity. But out of all that is going to be the birth of the kingdom age, where you rule and reign for 1,000 years. What a comfort that is. Thank you, Lord, for sharing these things with us in your word, giving us great hope and comfort. And Lord, as we begin the year 2020, Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused upon you, to do those things you've called us to do. Thank you for your love, and help us to stand strong in the days we're living in, earnestly contending for the faith that's been entrusted to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.